This is Margaret Kutman-Frankowitz with another episode of Diabetic Survival. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much for listening. I'm a diabetic girl, and I created this channel a while back, as many people know, about 3 years ago. And I just have continued it because it's so much fun. So if you want to start your podcast, like my little commercial theme says, go with Anchor and start it. You can talk about anything. Just so you know, it's probably a good idea to stick to one topic, but you can take that topic and run with it as well. You can talk about a little bit of everything. But anyways, thank you again so much again for listening to me. For those of you who've come back and want to listen to me again, thank you. I really appreciate it. I should have some like questions out there that you can answer, like little surveys and stuff of that nature. When I can, I've actually put it out there a little bit. It didn't work so well on Anchor. So now that Anchor and Spotify are actually paired together, thank you for doing that. Hopefully they'll be able to work those kinks out. If not, we'll go ahead and participate in the future. I'm not going to take offense to it. Okay, so let's get the ball rolling on this. Okay, so without further ado, I wanted to talk about gig companies. I really do. I really just, they've been kind of a thorn in my side since 2016. And with the world going the way it is, people think that it's easy. All you gotta do is go on Indeed or any of those other, you know, like Job Hat or whatever, and go get a job. It's not a big deal, right? Well, it sort of is and sort of isn't. What I have found out there, even being a perfectly qualified person for many different positions, is that it's always the wrong people that contact you for the wrong type of job. So it's like you want to go into the automotive field and you just happen to throw one out there just in case for, I don't know, something else, because you just kind of wonder if it's working. So you end up getting a job that's completely, totally wrong for you. And so you do gig companies to try to, you know, pad the finances a bit until you can actually find that perfect job. And gig companies are not perfect at providing work. And a lot of the things you hear, like, I made $2,000 this week, are pretty false. And, you know, that's actually what I wanted to talk about. So realistically, you will make a little bit more than a fast food worker, maybe. No, you'll probably make about as much as a fast food worker. I guess it depends on what market that you're in. So if you're in a market like, well, no, I may be wrong about that, because there are a lot of people screaming in cities like Phoenix and places in LA. And I got to talk about this, because I really do think that there's two tiers of drivers out there. The ones they screw over and the ones they give all the money to. So there, I said it. But there's a reason why I'm talking about it, and that's because, it's in certain articles and stuff, but it's kind of funny because when they want a definite one opinion on it, like the author's opinion, they will not allow you to comment on it. And of course, that's the case sort of here too, but there's plenty of other rideshare, you know, authors out there who are talking about rideshare like it's the what you want to do, where you make your money. Okay, I need to go into this. All right. Ironically enough, if you want to drive with one of these companies, of course, you have to apply for it. Your driver's license, they take your insurance information, etc. And then they'll allow you to drive, which is great. But how long is it going to be for? Now, if you work for instance, a food delivery company, it might be for a while, but, and maybe I should talk about that too. And I probably will in this talk. If you're wondering why I'm talking about ride share and about food delivery, it's because this is something that does affect the diabetic. We have to pay for our medications. It has to come from somewhere. If you're on Social Security, disability, or whatever, you can go ahead and disregard this. Or if you don't have to work, hey, lucky you. But for the majority of Americans, we have to work. We have to work for a living. We have to find a job that actually suits our sleepy lifestyles at times, because our medications may actually make us drowsy. So there's certain times we can't work. There's certain times we can work. And we want to be productive members of society. Okay, without further ado, I used to work for a company called Uber. Now, I haven't been with them for probably 6 to 8 months, something like that. And I made decent money. I didn't make great money, but I made decent money. And I did see a couple of really nice paychecks that were around $1,000 a week. Not anything more than that, but that's me working hard and also getting flagged for working too many hours. It's like, okay, you've worked 12 hours today. You need to shut yourself down. So that's the message they'll give you if you're overworking. And that's where the problems actually started, actually. So it triggered something in their girl rhythm or whatnot. Next thing I know, I'm getting some kind of suspension notice because somebody decided to complain. Not about the hours that I was working, but the problem is like, you know, all a driver is concerned with, we're not out there to make trouble or anything of that nature. We're just driving from point A to point B, and sometimes to point C, D, E, F, G, depending on which customer we have who wants to take advantage of us. But all we want to do is get from point A to point B and then pick up our next passenger. That's all we're concerned about. We're looking at the roads. We're trying to drive safely. We're, you know, calculating how much gas we have in our car, when we can take our next break, etc. How to make the passenger happy with maybe saying something polite, maybe turning on the radio to a very low buzz so that there's a little bit of background noise, maybe engaging with them if they seem like the person that doesn't mind talking, etc. There's some people that they just want to sit there in quietness, and that's fine too. So we're not really concerned with bothering whoever's in the back of our car. We don't care about the color of your skin. At least I don't. I do care if you're making a disturbance, though. Like, the things I do care about are things such as if you're screaming in the back of my car. Like, I've had a couples screaming, hollering at each other in the back of my car while I was trying to drive. That is kind of a concern, where I've had to turn around and be like, hey, you know, I'm trying to drive, and I say it nicely. If you want me to pull over so you can continue your argument, that's fine, and then you can get back in the car and we'll continue on our way. Just be aware that fighting is probably not an option in my car. It's not an option. I'll just be straight up. It's not an option. Please do that outside of my car. But I will pull over the side of the road for you. That's not a problem. And I will wait for you to finish your argument, and then I will take you on your way. I'm a nice person. I'm a nice driver. So there are people who will manipulate the system, like they'll only want to drive like half a block or across the street, and they think it's funny. So they may pull me, you know, 20 miles out, which they have done before. This is with Uber. And just to take somebody across the street, so I get paid a whole whopping $3.25 or $3.85 or $7 or whatever it is. And, you know, usually if they tip really good, I don't care. But it's the kind of people who know that I'm getting underpaid to begin with, and they just want to waste my time and my gas, that I'm actually offended by. So no free rides, people. If it's super cheap and I have to go a long distance, don't think that I haven't noticed that you're cheating me, because I have noticed. But the other scenario is also correct, where somebody overpays me for a ride. God bless them, because those are the people that have helped me to actually still continue to exist. God bless them. Love those people. And they know that there's crooks out there who take advantage of drivers. Unfortunately, now it's like the good majority of people who are on Uber are trying to take advantage of the drivers. And I hate to say that, but with tips dwindling, and then with stories, and this is what really chaps my hide. See, Ohio's like maybe a mile away from me, and I'm in West Virginia. Mile and a half, all I gotta do is cross a bridge, I'm in Ohio. Well, I've talked to some of the passengers who have told me, thank God you came along because your trip only cost me $8 to $12. But when you're not available, then they have to pull another driver from another area, and it may be $40 just to cross into West Virginia. And I only work, you know, 3-4 miles up the road. It's just too far to walk. And I don't blame them. I would call an Uber or a Lyft as well. And I thought this was just an isolated incident. And this was last year, of course. But this was pretty frequent where they had people who were collecting enormous amounts of money for these rides. And their rides weren't necessarily better. So I'm not exactly sure how Lyft and Uber chooses these golden people to get like $40 for something that should be like $12. But it's definitely an injustice. Maybe it's because they just went on shift and they're offering them a bonus to pick somebody up because they haven't had any drivers in the area in like 2 or 3 hours. That might be the reason being, and may not be, that they have an upper elite team of drivers that they just pay more money to. But, you know, in today's society where, you know, anything goes, I wouldn't doubt if they did do that. And they don't like it when I talk about that. That's when I start getting notices about deactivations. And so when I start talking about this stuff with other passengers, then I get notices that I'm being watched for deactivation because somebody complained about me. But they won't say who, they won't say what. And a lot of times when something does come in, it's a downright lie. Like, I had one person actually report that I looked drunk while driving. And no, it wasn't the case that I was drunk or driving. The case was, and this is kind of funny too, but not really, this person was mad at me. Let me see if I can remember the reason why they were mad at me. I can't even remember why they were mad at me. I said something like, please don't drink alcohol in the back of my car or something. No, it wasn't about alcohol. It was something else. It was something dumb, because sometimes you have to literally tell somebody not to smoke in your car, not to drink in your car, not to do drugs in your car. I mean, you'd think that these things were common sense reasons, but, you know, sometimes people who drive or who actually are your passengers don't have a whole lick of common sense. There was one time when my maps went out, and then I end up getting a notice from Uber stating that I didn't know my directions and that the passenger shouldn't be having to tell me where to go. Well, when the maps go out, and this wasn't through my phone service, this was through their app. When you're on the freeway, you can't necessarily stop and wait for Uber to catch up with you with their satellite to continue on the way. So you might ask, so like, hey, you know, my map just went out, would you mind giving me directions? And the passenger's like, yeah, sure. And this has happened on more than one occasion. And so what they'll do is they'll penalize the driver for their mistake. And you can't really argue much about it. I mean, Uber, you can argue a little bit, but they don't care. Lyft, you can't argue at all because there's nobody contact with Lyft without going through their security and them contacting 911 for any time you actually do call in to them. Not even joking about that. I wish I was. So I find it funny that they've taken it upon themselves to be able to actually affect everything that a driver does. You know, the driver just wants to pick you up and drop you off. Common sense, right? You're just trying to get from point A to point B, right? We just want to take you from point A to point B. And yet the company is going to hassle the drivers because some fool decided to get in the back of your car and they're like, hey, I know how I'm going to get a ride next time because money's tight, so I will just take advantage of the driver. They don't care if that driver loses their job or not. That's the problem with Uber and Lyft. They don't care if that driver loses their job. Now, I don't care how many times, for instance, Lyft goes out in public, and they say this a lot because they're trying to counteract their lies that they're telling. But they'll say things like, we're not deactivating drivers. We're not threatening them. But they are threatening drivers. They are deactivating them. There are people coming forward and saying, hey, I was deactivated because some fool passenger decided that they were going to complain about me because I told them that their child needed a booster seat or needed a car seat. So now I'm a racist. And this does happen. This does happen. And then people are deactivated. And so what Uber or Lyft will do is they'll come back to you and say, we have a zero tolerance for this. And you're like, okay, well, this never happened, so I don't care. It's not like it's in my personality to actually discriminate against somebody because of the color of their skin. I don't care. I'm just trying to get to point A to point B. And that is the truth. But you can't counteract this because they don't have like a judicial system or anything else. Now, people may argue this too, that any job is like this. They'll fire you for any reason. Like literally any reason. I'm going to tell you why it's different with Uber and Lyft. You see, the reason why it's different is because we're independent contractors. We're not employees. We don't take demands or rules or anything of that nature from Uber, Lyft. It's our vehicles, it's our equipment. We're taking care of the wear and tear on it. We take care of all the maintenance, right? We pay for our own gas. Nobody else pays for that. People think that Uber and Lyft do so much. They don't do anything. The only thing they do is coordinate the ride. So if they're just coordinating the ride, then they need to be serious about these allegations. Now, mind you, things do happen, but it's usually to the driver. You know, you get a bunch of thugs in the back of your car. You may or may not survive that. There's more than likely a chance the driver's going to get robbed. The reason why it doesn't happen the other way around is because people do not go and get a job with Uber and Lyft, go through a background check, provide their driver's license, provide all the credentials that's needed, show their insurance, etc., just so they can rob people. That's just like super stupid. But then you have these clowns out here who actually want to ride in the back of your car and not provide any identification whatsoever. And like their picture will come up with a picture of a clown, literally, and their name is Clown. Like, I'm not even joking about that. I wish I was. Because Uber and Lyft, they don't care. They don't care who's getting in the back of your car. You're taking all the risk when you invite anybody into your car, just like you are taking on all the risk when you invite somebody into your house. You don't know who's going in the back there. So now you may ask yourself, who in the world would want to pick up a stranger and put them in the back of their car and take them from point A to point B when they might be robbed or they might be killed? I'll be honest with you. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to actually put themselves at that risk. Uber and Lyft have no problem fixing the algorithm so that if, like, for instance, one fare, if it's $20, the next one will be $3.85. So that way your next 2 hours equal out to about $7 or $8 and change. They have no problem messing with that. They don't put into consideration what the drivers ask, actually risking not only their lives but their property to some of the people that Lyft and Uber actually put in the back of their seats. I hope that you're hearing me clear here. So we take considerable risk, and then they tell us that we cannot have a gun in our car, that we cannot have a taser, that we cannot have pepper spray. And I'm not going to say one way or another if a driver does have that in their car, because of course Uber and Lyft cannot check that. But some of the scariest videos I have ever seen were, there was this one lady, she was actually taking 7 individuals. She actually had a big enough car for that. She was taking 7 individuals in her car, and they decided to beat her senseless by the time that she dropped them off at the destination. I watched her. She never said a word until they started beating her. And it was funny because one girl started beating her, and then more
They just came in and started beating her up. That was sad. There was another lady from Pennsylvania who was actually shot to death. These are just a couple of examples. And they always like to pick on women for some reason. So it's very, very hazardous for women. So if you're a woman driver, just so you know, you need to protect yourself. I don't care how you do it, get some long nails or something. You need to protect yourself. So maybe, yeah, grow your nails out. That's the only thing I can think of. Scratch their eyes out. Go for the eyes. Go for the jugular. And take these people out. Don't worry about a lawsuit or whatnot, because, you know, if it's you or them when you're risking your life or your job, take them out. Just take them out. You're not the person that deserves to die or lose your property. Now, I was actually listening to the rideshare guy, which is the reason why I'm all on this bandwagon and I'm all up into this. Because he knows that this stuff goes on. Now, this guy, though, I call him a dog. The reason being is because he's re-victimizing the victims by actually charging them a fee to actually contact places like Lyft and Uber, who have deactivated drivers for undue causes, and take more from them. And, you know, he's charging like, I don't know, 60 some odd dollars or something. And then he has classes on top of it on how to actually, you know, drive as a chauffeur or something. And I'm actually a little bit appalled and floored by that. I understand it's America, you're trying to make your money and stuff, but you're making money off of your fellow drivers, and shame on you. Just organize a union or some sort, somebody who can actually talk on behalf of the drivers, instead of taking it upon yourself to be the superhero that takes money from the drivers and, you know, people who are desperate to actually have their job because they can't seem to find a decent job either. They're either overqualified, underqualified. Some drivers are not even from this country. Not even going to go into that, because there are majority of drivers are from this country, are born and raised here, and they're just not finding a job that can pay the bills. When your cost of living has gone up and you need about $26 an hour to survive, and your typical minimum wage job is paying between $7.80 or $7.25, like Idaho, I think they're still at $7.25, or maybe $8 and some change, and, you know, your rent is going up and it's just you living out there, you either need to work three jobs, or, you know, if you have like an illness or something, sometimes you have to take on jobs like Uber and Lyft because they pay that tad bit more, but it's not a lot. Just being honest. So drivers aren't rich. We still have to pay our taxes. Unfortunately, Lyft and Uber are not super ultra responsible enough to even pay drivers enough to pay their taxes. This is really sad, people. This is really sad. They will take hours, and like, for instance, I've had them take away hours from me, actual working hours. And so, you know, you might work 20 hours during the week, maybe work 40 hours during the week, but they'll only record like 16 hours that you've actually worked. So they can make it look like you're actually making more than you actually are. They're a couple of evil companies. The only way that legislation is going to know what they're doing is if legislation actually gets a job and actually works Uber and Lyft for themselves so that they can actually see what they do to drivers. And you're going to have to work it for, you know, 6 months, a year to really see what they do, because they're not going to do it to the beginning drivers because they are slick to that. So what they do is they'll honeymoon you in the beginning, and then after the honeymoon period ends, then they're going to start with their narcissism. Then they're going to start with their degradation of yourself, I guess you'd call it. There's a word for that. I can't even think of it. But the thing is they're very slick with what they do. They know how to buy people off. They know how to lobby. They know how to get away with things. They know how to stick it to the driver. And if you're driving for them, don't ever think that they actually care about you. You can be deactivated at any time, even if you think you're their most stellar driver. Even if they had told you that you're the top 3%, you could end up losing your job in a week or two. So I would not want to be their high status, because basically what you are is on their radar to actually be canned. I'm not even joking about that. You don't want to be their top tier driver. That is just your black sheep. Like, I'm serious. They don't want you like that. You're disturbing them when you're top tier driver. When you start bragging about that stuff, and you may not even be bragging about it. You may just self-gloat or whatnot. But like with Uber, for instance, you become one of their top drivers, you're going to be the first one to go, guaranteed. Because you're the person getting all the work and their other drivers are not. You're going to find that you, unless you're married to the company, which means you know somebody from the inside, that you are disposable. You're going to find that out. Okay, so. Interestingly enough, one of these companies, I have one company offering me $900 to recruit people. I have another company, and you know, this is between rideshare and food delivery. I have another company offering me $600 to actually recruit people. That's really very profitable, and you might wonder why I don't actually recruit people into this. The reason why I don't recruit, I mean, I will. Somebody really wants to actually do rideshare or food delivery, I'll be more than happy to recruit you, but I'm going to tell you the negatives along with the positives. Like, don't plan on doing this long term. This is what you need to do. Yes, I will get a bonus of, you know, $600, $900, whatever it is. But the thing is that you might seriously want to go into recruiting. Just be honest with your people. Be honest with the fact of, you know, you're going to need to actually be on Indeed or any of these other job sites and actually look for a real valid job, because I'm going to guarantee you that food delivery and gig work is not it. Like, it may pay for you for a little bit, but don't get sucked into their politics. Do not get sucked into thinking that you're going to have this job for a very long time. So most people do know that it's something you do on the side. Like, if you're already working a job, this is great. A little bit of extra money to pay the bills. Like, you work during the busy hours and you just happen to have, you know, between 6 and 9 off at night, which I don't know anybody who does. But if you do, or if you have that little bit of extra time in the morning, you can make a little bit of change to help pay your bills. And it's not so bad. But if you start doing this full time, I can guarantee you they don't want you. Okay, that's about all I have to say. Excuse me. If you have been deactivated, if you've been a driver in the past and you wanted to go back into it, there are ways that you can go back into it. Sometimes it's as easy as changing your phone number, believe it or not, and then just reapplying. Yes, they still have the same credentials, but they treat it differently. And yeah, it's that easy. So, anyways, I just wanted to share that little bit of information with you. If you've been deactivated, another way of doing it, I mean, the rideshare guy, he'll give you about a 40% chance of actually being reactivated through that company. And I guess it's better than nothing. I'm not spending any money to actually be reactivated and treated like crap through Uber. So I'm not doing it, but some people may choose to do that. I think that the odds are against me at 40%. And I certainly don't want to work for a company that's going to axe you anytime that they fail to, I don't know, like, whatever reason. Reason being is because I worked really hard. It was either platinum or diamond status with Uber. I worked really hard to get that. And I had finally reached it. It's almost like because I had reached it, they decided that was a reason to deactivate me. And they were going to eliminate me. And once I reached that goal, I worked hard for that goal, by the way. I really did work hard. It's super disappointing when that does happen to you. And I ended up not getting the bonus that they had promised. But I did reach the status. I just didn't get the bonus. And there were no additional perks. I found out... Oh, another thing is I found out that their benefits were complete garbage. So that was the thing is... you know, they have like special perks on cheaper gas, which the gas stations are so far away that you don't want to drive 20 miles out to get the 20-cent discount on gas because, you know, your tank may only hold 8 to 10 gallons and you cannot justify while you're driving out there spending $4 on gas just to save a dollar, you know, that type of deal, to discounts on services such as automotive, where they offer you a 25% discount, yet you can actually find another company that will probably offer you more of a discount without a discount card. So, silly things like that, or, you know, access to their personal merchandise. I should say access to their overpriced merchandise. What else? Insurance benefits, where you can certainly get it cheaper somewhere else. There weren't really many perks. There, it wasn't really worth it. So, that's what I have to say about it. And I actually did check it out. I'm like, well, this is crap. This is crap. This is crap. Like, it was all crap. I just wasn't, like, I had to roll my eyes at it. I'm like, I really reached platinum levels so I could be offered all this stuff that doesn't work. Now, they do have the roadside assistance. But if you have AAA, which is what something that I would suggest to anybody, use your AAA. If you got the AAA Plus, even better. They'll tow you up to 100 miles. Great service. The last time I needed AAA, I was in Ohio, which was last week. I busted a tire open, and AAA was literally out there within 5 minutes. I mean, that never happens, okay? I've never had AAA out so quickly as what they actually reached me in. And the guy was just happened to be coming in my direction, and I happened to luck out. He was there faster than an EMT. Like, I was super happy with AAA. I cannot say that I received that kind of service in the past in West Virginia, but in Ohio, it's amazing, okay? And I used to have a grandmother who swore on AAA, and I'm glad she said, always make sure if you have a car, make sure you have AAA. I have the AAA Plus. It'll tow me up to 100 miles. Okay. So, with that being said, thank you so much for listening. And I just needed to get that off my chest as the diabetic girl because, hey, we all got to work for a living. And sometimes that extra money has to come from somewhere. And we need to talk about this stuff. And we need to talk about how we're being treated and what we actually deserve, which is stellar support and a wonderful job and a wonderful life. That's what we deserve. That's what we should get. So what you do for extra money, hey, not judging you. Excuse me. We all have to make a living, right? But certainly when there's injustice being done, I'm going to talk about it. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Please be kind to each other because there are good people out there and there's somebody that probably needs your help. So surprise a stranger with a bottle of water if he looks thirsty, or, you know, take him out to lunch or something. Talk to somebody new. You know, explore your horizons a little bit. If you're bored, this is a great way to cure boredom. All right. Thank you again for listening. This has been Margaret Copeman-Frankwitz, and I hope that you have a great day.